Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office. I'm back for another CRC position statement. This one a bit more sensitive again. Some of them are a little bit more sensitive than others.
Yeah.
This one involves really touchy parts of people's lives and stories. So we hope to do it with sensitivity. It is the CRC's position statement on divorce and remarriage. This one has three paragraphs, which is the first one I can remember having more than two.
Yeah.
I might have come across it somewhere else. But we'll take it a paragraph at a time, I think. Pastor Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. The CRC position statement on divorce and remarriage. Marriage is an institution created by God. It is a covenant relationship established by mutual vows between a man and a woman united by God. Permanent unity in marriage is possible in Christ and is demanded of Christ's disciples who are married. Marriages should not be dissolved. Divorce is contrary to God's will. However, by persistent and unrepented sin, people can separate what God has joined together. Scripture acknowledges that certain actions and attitudes that occur in a sinful world and conflict with God's will can destroy a marriage relationship. That's the first paragraph.
Yeah, I think that's pretty consistent with what it teaches in both the Old and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is definitely outside of God's desire for us and his desire for marriage. But, you know, even Jesus speaking about marriage, it's the reality of a fallen world that, you know, some relationships can't be mended, and that's very unfortunate. It would make it not necessarily easier, but a lot more black and white if it was just, okay, there's no divorce on any grounds. But like I said, you know, that would make things that much more messy.
All right, and that fails to recognize the brokenness of the world.
Yeah. That's you're also talking about physical danger in a relationship sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about abuse or even when promiscuity is an issue on one side of the marriage, that's a physical danger for the partner as well. And I think it's appropriate to have the exception clause, unfortunately.
Yeah. Right? So this position statement does a good job of establishing what it is we're aiming for in marriage.
It's a high view of marriage.
Above all else, yeah, right? It's a mutual vow between a man and a woman united by God. That's all very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, because of Christ and the sanctifying work of the Spirit at work in believers, it's possible that we can persist in marriage, right? So we can have, good marriages are possible,
mm-hmm.
and sort of articulates that first and says, marriages should not be dissolved. Divorce is contrary to God's will. It's a high view of marriage, like you said, but because of unrepented sin,
mm-hmm.
there are situations where it's, allowable, necessary.
You know, another thing that you read between the lines, too, and this maybe goes a little bit beyond the bounds, but, you know, not only is it important to stay married in this view, but even before that, it's really important that you're marrying the right kind of person. Maybe not the right person. That's a little bit too,
lovey-dovey,
but yeah. The right kind of person, because, look, it says marriage is possible, and I would say marriage is only possible in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christ is not the center of both people's lives, Christ is not going to be the center of the marriage, and you put that much more strain and conflict into the mix. And
yeah.
So just reading between the lines, I think that's important too. If you're going to maintain that high view of marriage, you know, it's got to be a high view that's shared by both parties.
Yeah. Here's paragraph two. Since failure to keep the marriage covenant is sin, the church must exercise a ministry of reconciliation and call marriage partners to confession, forgiveness, reconciliation, and renewed obedience. The church must minister with special concern to those involved in the traumatic experience of divorce, speaking with clarity where sinful conduct is overt and apparent, and exercising formal discipline when there is disdain for biblical teaching and when repentance is beyond hope. The church must be a place of acceptance and support for those who have been divorced and for their children.
Yeah. The one phrase in that paragraph that catches my eye is the phrase, when repentance is beyond hope. Is repentance ever beyond hope?
Right. But and we've talked before, there are situations, though, where a relationship is so broken that it becomes a sort of a divisive thing within the body of a church.
True.
And in those situations, I think Paul in particular has clearly called us to sort of remove divisive persons from our body. Yeah. And it's not that they're beyond hope. They're no one's ever too far for God to save them, right? The sheep can't wander to a place where Jesus can't bring them back.
Right.
But there is a place where sort of the local congregation is not going to be a healthy place for that person anymore.
Yeah. You're right. And that's where the comments about formal church discipline,
yeah,
where there's disdain for biblical teaching, you know, I mean, it goes hand in hand. Right. So I understand what it's saying. It's just a phrase that caught my eye. But yeah, in a given situation, there does come a point where, okay, this person is not going to repent. And you're absolutely right. That's when steps need to be taken to isolate that person for fear of causing division and poisoning others, other relationships, right?
And this paragraph sort of gets at the two types of people who are left after a divorce.
Yeah, well,
and in every situation, of course, has its little different nuances and whatever. So this isn't a be all end all, but there's sometimes a person who's been the victim of the abuse, and those persons, it says, offering repentance and a place of acceptance and support for those who are hurt and their children. But it also sort of talks about sort of the inflictor of the abuse too, and that person needs to be called to confession of their sins and acknowledgement of their sins. And when there isn't an acknowledgement of sin, then there's some discipline, right? When there's a disdain for the word, action needs to be taken.
Yeah. But it doesn't even, you know, I don't even read that specifically thinking about abuse. So often, even in a strained marriage, one partner remains
and
committed.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean by abuse. They've abused the vows.
I see.
Yeah. Right. And so without.
So that's kind of what you're saying. Yeah. Sure. Because I, you know, it's not like divorce comes out of nowhere.
Right.
But usually it's one person that initiates it and the other person is the traumatized party. Because it's like, whoa. I know this isn't perfect, but I thought we were kind of in this together. Right.
And again, just to reiterate, every situation has its subtleties and nuances. So that's not maybe the case in 100% of cases, but often that's the way we've experienced it. Final paragraph. The church should neither issue a clear prohibition against remarriage nor attempts to list with legal precision the circumstances under which remarriage does not conflict with biblical teaching. The church must apply biblical principles to concrete situations in the light of its best understanding of what happened in a particular divorce and what is being planned for a particular remarriage.
Yeah, I'm thinking of examples right now. And in my experience as a pastor so far, which is kind of your experience too, because we've been in this kind of together for as long as we've been in it, there is usually, it's the one that was victimized that ends up staying in the congregation, and the one who was the wayward one is the one who leaves. And so with regard to the remarriages that I've had to encounter, it's a matter of counseling. It's a matter of making sure that the victimized person from one marriage is in a good place spiritually and emotionally and relationally before they get remarried. And, you know, you very much pay special care to, you know, who it is that they're marrying and kind of watching over that.
Yeah.
And I at least haven't had to deal with the person who was unrepentant the first time. And you know what I mean? Because they're the ones who leave.
Right.
But there are situations where both parties in a previous marriage are staying at their church.
Right.
And that would be a tough thing to navigate.
Yeah. And of course, the victims, you're typically very supportive of opportunities for remarriage, right? Because
It's just easier.
They did the tough work of working on that marriage and really weren't party to that the sin that was going on.
Right.
Right. So you usually are very supportive of those people. I think what this is sort of barring against is when someone leaves a marriage, gets divorced with a greedy end game in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't want to have these ties anymore. I don't want to have this sort of responsibility to children anymore, or I have a different spouse or family that I would like to pursue instead. And it's in those situations where sort of this position statement says, yeah, maybe, not maybe. In those situations, we would not be
endorsing
or encouragement or would perform that kind of marriage.
Right.
When it's throwing something else away in order to achieve a greedy gain, of course we wouldn't be supportive of something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those of you who are married, pay attention to your marriages. You know, just if you do the work every day, then you don't even have to come to this place of making these hard decisions and having to navigate the hurt and the brokenness of broken families.
And those of you who have been divorced, if we can help you with that navigating, we sort of offer up our help, whatever little we can do, and hope that you found a place that's welcoming here.
Yeah. God is a God of second chances. That's the grace in every text, right?
Yep. Well, thanks for listening again. We'll be back next week with another position statement.